Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 468. Science Faction, I call BS.
And I call BS on the game, which I believe is the Kobayashi Maru tactic to win and ascend.
Well, sort of. That was the hidden kind of button that we put in the game to immediately lose a point. It's like somebody
weird.
Who... Yeah, that is a weird one.
See,
but like that's
the
immediate point loss.
For the rules written for me, or just some sort of PDF you could send me?
I've given you them
you
on
lied,
multiple
lied.
Occasions.
Show me the emails. There's so much you're hiding. Don't believe them.
I handed you a piece of paper. I actually had a process server give it to you so you couldn't make this claim later. Hello, are you Damian Mercado? And he's threw an envelope at you.
I thought it was a mask. I'm like, I'm not wearing them. It's my right. And how do you know my name?
And speaking of your rights, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I mean, I've had this horrible cough the last few days. It's actually pretty hard to breathe through this. But hey, I'm free. I am free.
You're probably just not getting enough fresh air. Just go out, go for a run around the park.
Can do. I'm out of cigarettes anyway.
All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, guys, I call BS, the game where I read four science news articles, some of which are real, some of which are BS, standing for bad science. Damian usually competes against a scientist, so you can see which ones are real or which ones are fake, but we don't have a scientist because of COVID, so Damian will compete against himself and hopefully not lose for the 100% record he currently has of losing, both to himself and to other people.
I have been using this as a training session and bettering myself. You have unwittingly been my sensei. Mr. Miyagi-ing me, all of the negative things that you thought were meant to discourage me, and I know they were not meant as some sort of drill sergeant-esque negative reinforcement. No. Despite all of that headwind, I scored a perfect last week against myself.
Well, first of all, Damian, you're welcome. I have indeed
not taken.
Put together a long con game to get you better at I Call BS that involved years of
torture,
mocking, belittling,
beatings.
Yeah, I mean, all justified, surely, but yeah, I put together a long con game to finally get you to this point for you to realize your own abilities come from the inside.
Thank you. And so what you're saying is that the rules have been purposely manipulated for years as part of this long con.
No, I wasn't getting that.
No, I think that's pretty much what you said.
Okay. All right, article number one. A new paper suggests that crocodiles swam from Africa to the Americas. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and this is actually what amphibians call swimming the channel. It's actually quite a feat, and only a few crocodiles or alligators have done it.
Wow. Is it like it's a common thing? Is there like there a pacer boat full of crocodiles beside the crocodile that's making the run to try and see, you know, in case he needs help?
The modern attempts are, but the previous ones, you basically just crossed the channel and waited for a female to cross to breed, because otherwise nothing was going to happen. You would die alone. But
yeah,
there's nobody competing for fish in the swamps in Louisiana, at least back then.
Go west, young crocodile.
This is actually before a lot of crocodiles now cross just windsurfing the whole way. If you're a sailor in the Atlantic, you might have seen it at some point. It's actually pretty cool. They wear sunglasses.
Well, what's harder for crocodiles is the stand-up paddleboard, because they just suck at standing up in general, but then you add the unstable surface.
It's so slow. How come I chose this?
I can swim so much faster.
Why do people find this fun?
I'm a crocodoofus. Right.
I hate that I laughed at that. I hate it so much.
And it's on tape, too, so you can't deny it.
Edit that out.
Like you do to your losses of I Call BS.
I will start shouting the N-word and ruin this take until you edit that out.
All right, Damian, this one is indeed science. So this happened about 7 million years ago. Today we have crocodile species in America that we know are related to the Nile crocodile, but we weren't sure kind of where they came from. We weren't sure who went where because of a bad kind of fossil record. This sometimes happens with aquatic or semi-aquatic animals. It can be very hard to get preservation around marshy areas and stuff. And so a lot of times aquatic, semi-aquatic animals, unless that area later dries out and is properly fossilized, we lose a lot of their stuff. So we were kind of wondering, like, which came first? And also, how did they split off? So this was a 7-million-year-old skull that we found in Africa that looks a lot like American Crocs. It's got like the head shape and stuff of American Crocs. It looks like it's the progenitor of them. And we now can say
that... It's making an ass out of itself in front of foreign Crocs.
It's talking too loud and wearing way too baggy pants.
Wow, we're so much better than you. We're the greatest country on earth, USA. Yes, we are gracious guests.
And so now it looks like that this was the croc that came over, because we don't have American crocs until like 5 million years ago or something. So this is the one. Now, you might be thinking, all right, but didn't we talk about this with like monkeys a long time ago, how monkeys came over from Africa to South America? Yes, but that was like in the 40 million time range. That was when the Atlantic was much smaller. 7 million years ago, the Atlantic was not that much smaller. It was very similar to what it is today. So this is a long fucking journey, right? Now, crocodiles are known to be able to go take very long distances in salt water. We've seen that before. Sometimes people talk about being in Australia and seeing like a crocodile miles offshore. And it's terrifying for them, because imagine a giant fucking dinosaur lizard swimming next to you in a boat. And you're like, we need to get away from here. This thing could capsize us very easily.
Fuck that. Dudes from Florida dominate these things all the time.
That's alligators for the most part.
Whoa. So you're saying if I snuck a crocodile into that alligator farm, there would be dining on hillbilly.
I mean, like, if you put a Nile crocodile in there, yes, they fucking would. I mean, as an example,
the same tactics of like holding their mouth closed doesn't work at all.
Like, I'm pretty sure that like nobody, or like almost nobody in recorded history, has ever died from like wild alligators in Florida. Like, that's just never happened. There was a case somewhat recently of a guy running away from the cops who like jumped off an overpass and literally landed on a crocodile that like killed him. But other than that, we have no real case of people. Yeah. Landing on an alligator that killed him. But other than that, we don't have like examples of that. And crocodiles eat the shit out of people all the time. Like, if you live in parts of Africa, like, you just know, you're like, I'm having three kids because I want to, and the crocodiles will take one.
Shit. Never mind. You win, crocodiles.
So that was a long time ago, but not long enough that the Atlantic was smaller. And we don't think crocs can make a cross-country or cross-oceanic voyage now. So something was weird. Something happened. Maybe that croc was better at swimming. Who knows? We also think it might have been something along the lines of like maybe a small group of crocodiles somehow made the swim, got put off course by a storm or something like that. Or one pregnant female made it and then just had a bunch of like Game of Thrones sister fucking babies that figured it out and made all the species we have now. We're still not sure.
And made alligators that can be dominated by Floridians.
But what we do know is that it's very, very interesting to finally solve this mystery, and we did it with a single fossil. All right, on to article number two. New research suggests that on top of being the first Europeans to discover North America and conquering most of coastal Europe and becoming the ruling bodies of most prominent European countries, the Vikings also were smallpox hipsters, catching and spreading the disease earlier than anyone previously thought. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. I'm just saying this because I know people from Denmark have always just been better than us. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I picture them recognizing there's something wrong and quarantining beforehand. Plus, they also seem like they'd be cleaner. Yeah, they were covered in blood, but they were like the culture that would bathe after being covered in blood.
They were covered in blood, but only because they used blood to clean themselves.
You do not. He turns Russian. You know what? He's Russian.
Yeah, that was just Russian blood. Hey, the Vikings became the Russians, so not that bad. All right, Damien, actually, this is science. So, really interesting. This was from an excavation where we looked at actual genetic material from different Vikings in different areas. Now, some side notes. We have no actual hard evidence of smallpox before the 17th century. So we don't know where it came from. There are some thoughts that it's really old, like much older than that, like 10,000 BC, but we have nothing to prove it. The earliest evidence we had was the 17th century. So this pushes that back about 1,000 years, because this is about the 8th century. And so they looked at Vikings, and they didn't just find that there was smallpox in one of these Vikings. No, in looking at their tooth material, they were able to find the genetic signature of smallpox in 11 Viking-era burial sites in Denmark, Norway, Russia, and the UK. Huge swath of area. Think about what that is. That is the far east of Europe to the far west of Europe. They also found multiple human variants from a small island off the east coast of Sweden with a long history of trade. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that smallpox was making its way through the Viking population 1,000 years before we have evidence of it ever being anywhere else and being spread. Think about that. Think of going from Russia, UK, Northern Europe, all of those places.
So they'd have pillaging parties and like spread it around?
And they just spread it as they made their kind of like treks through the world. Now, we know Vikings basically shaped almost all of European history, but this means they did a lot bigger job of doing that than we had previously thought. Because in looking at this virus, it's a little bit different than the smallpox we knew that destroyed the world. This was probably a disease that people caught and then just got over. It was more similar to the original pox diseases that we get from animals, including cowpox and things like that. The smallpox that eventually later destroyed Europe and then the New World had a one-third death rate, one-third mortality rate, meaning of every three people who got it, one of them died, one-third died, and one-third were left permanently maimed or blind. So if you caught it, you only had a 30% chance of fully recovering from the disease. That was not the disease that these Vikings seemed to have. It seemed to be much more manageable. This is really interesting, because if they spread it all around, and it seems to be all through their colonies, you know, everywhere from UK all the way over to Russia on the other side, if they spread it around a whole bunch, maybe their spreading it around is what in one place, in one Viking colony, some little corner of the world ended up mutating to be the smallpox that killed millions and millions and millions of people. That's really interesting. We might have just added kind of the origin story to the smallpox mythos.
At some point, this pox gets bitten by a radioactive plague, and...
Yes, and then it transforms. Article number 3, a new paper has determined that the mysterious Planet 9 in our solar system is actually a primordial black hole. Damien, this is science, or bad science.
This is bad science, because you would be flipping out talking about Dr. Troy and trying to get him on the show if that was science. Now, I'm playing the man. Not the question.
You know what, Damien? I gotta say, good point. Because this is indeed bad science, and I would absolutely be talking to Dr. Troy if something like this came out.
You would 100%. Be looking past me as I'm talking, but like I know yeah. You'd be fantasizing about Dr. Troy yeah. As I'm looking at you in Zoom.
Yeah, maybe Dr. Nick as well. This is bad science, though a paper was published this week outlining how to make such a determination. So there have been people who hypothesize that Planet 9... Now remember, we used to have 9 planets. We knocked off Pluto. There is this gravitational effect that suggests there might be another, what you would call a planet in our solar system, that it has such a large orbit or is coming in and out in such a way that we can't quite tell. And there's some gravity wobbles that indicate that might be true. We're not 100% sure. But there's an idea that this thing might be a primordial black hole, which is a really small black hole that is essentially making its way through the universe. It's not formed by a star. It's actually formed by the way our universe formed. And it's making its way around and therefore mimicking the gravitational effects of a much larger planet. So what this paper did is say, well, if we thought this might be the case, here's a method for determining if what's going around is a black hole. Because remember, black holes are so dense that they absorb everything, including light. So you can't see them directly because no light is being reflected from them. What they thought is you could find a black hole by observing the accretion flares resulting from the impact of small Oort cloud objects. Remember, we talked about that accretion disk, and Dr. Troy had a great thing, I think, when he was talking about quantum field theory, where he talked about how black holes essentially can emit radiation, and that's how they would eventually die, as they kind of emit that radiation out and shoot that energy out. So it's kind of looking for that. It's looking for the radiation that matter emits on its way to the mouth of the black hole when it's getting pulled apart like that to illuminate the dark environment. So they basically put together a suggestion. This is how you find a black hole. This is how you would tell if Planet 9 is a black hole. So maybe we could do this later. Interesting thought, interesting idea, and might end up being, you know, the part of a huge scientific discovery later on the road. But for now, bad science.
I'm sorry, my eyes were glazed over as you were talking. I was thinking about a sexy science calendar starring Dr. Troy and Dr. Nick. We just need 10 more super sexy scientists. By the way, our fans may not have seen Dr. Nick and Dr. Troy, but people don't think sexy scientists. They are legit sexy scientists.
Oh, they can absolutely pull off a calendar, and especially because of, you know, Nick's whole Viking heritage thing, too.
Yeah, they both got those deep Vs.
And smallpox. All right. And lastly, article number 4. A new analysis reveals that the tiny 18-inch long, 2,000-year-old Egyptian mummies, long in a museum's collection and assumed to be dolls, actually have tiny human mummies inside of them. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. That's actually what they discovered about Russian nesting dolls. That each one is actually a tiny Russian hag that is they've hollowed out and turned into a canister for an even smaller, shrunken Russian hag.
Wouldn't that be great if that was like what they did to you in gulags? Like, what's the worst punishment? Russian dolling. It's where they take your grandmother, they skin her, and they put it over another grandmother.
Believe it or not worst way to die in Russia.
It was actually first started as a children's game, but later became a punishment.
Yes, most children watch Saw movies as child to help keep them quiet. Children love Saw movies.
It was started as the famous children's game, Massacre the Neighbor Kids.
I'm picturing Russian Santa Claus looks like that doll from the Saw movie. He just bikes into your house. I kill your brother.
But I bring you a treat.
Yeah, treat. Boo, brother.
I love the idea that in Russia, there's a long cultural history of bribing children to murder.
All we're doing is very slight exaggerations of Russian culture.
Yeah, really. It's like some guy sitting in Russia right now, and he's looking at his kid murdering another kid, and he's like, these idiot Americans think I'm going to pay him?
Okay, that's pretty spot-on satire. I agree. We do that, you stupid American dog.
Damien, this is actually bad science. They found that they were packed with mud and grain and a falcon that was missing some organs. Which is like the creepiest way to mummify a falcon is to take some organs first. They took the organs and one leg.
I swallow tadpole. How else do you remove tadpole from body but swallow hawk?
As a falcon, Damien. I also like that they took one leg, because I like the idea that they were doing like a reverse pirate. They're like, we're going to cut off one leg of the bird, give the bird one wooden leg, and then have a tiny dude sit on his shoulder.
We are not cruel. We will give bird wooden leg. We are not without mercy in Russia.
It's an interesting one because the museum had been originally told that they're like sarcophagi of mummies. They're little tiny ones, and they were told that they contained human hearts. And what's great is, like, you gotta love researchers in the Victorian times, because somebody got handed this in like the 1800s, and they're like, this contains the human heart of Egyptian pharaohs, and they went, cool, sounds like science to me, and just like put it in the museum of like heart in a box, you know? And then Kurt Cobain shortly later got the idea.
Yes, you have to understand, I was busy looting the Tomb of Gold at the time. This was just a fun trinket I found on the side.
And then somebody finally was like, hey, you know how we've been saying there's human hearts in here for like 200 years? Maybe we should pop it open and check it out, because the ultrasounds don't seem to reflect that. And then they did, and they're like, oh, yeah, did we say human heart? We meant mud.
Aha, adventure! But that was the true finding, was the adventure along the way.
All right, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 468, where you learned all about how crocodiles swam from Africa to the Americas. How the Vikings spread smallpox around the world. How we now have a way to tell whether or not Planet 9 is actually a primordial black hole. And how two 18-inch long, 2,000-year-old Egyptian sarcophaguses turned out not to be human hearts. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 469.
They're not human hearts? That is unfortunate. A box full of human hearts is most romantic thing you could give girl in Russia. I got crush on you. Oh no, a box of human hearts delivered to office again? I'm just not that into you, bro.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.